My name is Benny Anderson, and this will be the last lecture based on this AVA that I'm doing. And the topic this afternoon is the misery of suffering. I do not know why, but I only know why. And that is enough to make it, thank you, Lord. Suffering is an interesting phenomenon. Everybody goes through suffering. I'm sitting in grief of it. And today I'm hoping that I may give some insight, but the question will remain why, because I do not think there's an answer to the question. But I think we can share a lot of experience in how we deal with suffering in our life. I'm going to begin by reading a quote of a paragraph out of my book. I was walking down a street in a large city. The large city happened to be Minneapolis, when a young man came up to me and said, "Do you know that Jesus loves you?" I answered, "Yes, I do." Here's the tricky question. The question is, are you saved? My response was, yes, since I was baptized. Well, I understand that question had been loosened. Since I was baptized, he asked Philip, do you know that Jesus can heal you? Never tricky question. My answer was, yes, I do. Even I'm feeling asked the typical question, can I pray for you? My statement said, no, you can't. Let me unravel that for you. Took place one afternoon in downtown Minneapolis. I noticed the guy talking to the folks about Jesus. And as he came to me and he said that you want Jesus to heal you? And he, when I responded to him, no. And the reason I say no is in the tune that he was the tune of what he was trying to say and the people that was around him did not make me comfortable in saying, yes, I would really like for you to do it. In my own life, healing had took place by how I instruments my own relationship with the God that created me into the image of who he is. I believe that I've been here in many, many ways, not physical healing necessarily, but spiritual healing with inside of who I am. I do, let me say at the beginning that I do believe that Jesus can heal me in a physical sense, but I'm not really for sure if that is really the important question that I would like to deal with. The question that I want to deal with is how I cope with the seven part of how I understand and how I process my own pain and agony, my own defeat of who I am as a person. I think we need to all look at that as being I think it's how we deal with that. I have changed my whole idea on the topic as I had a conversation earlier with somebody. I told her that I changed my attitude on the topic about four times, and probably in another 10 years I will probably change again a number of times and maybe land up with how I began. But I doubt it. I used to believe that let me take you on that journey. I believe at one time that my handicap was not a part of who I was. It was outside of who I was. It was outside of my relationship with who God the Creator was, that I was created into God's image, but my handicap was not a part of that creation process. I'm now beginning to struggle with the whole concept of God created me the way that I am, physically and mentally, and my handicap is a part of that beautiful creation that God blessed me with. And one person said, if you can't think God of your handicap, you would have a lot of problems with that. like to heal from some of you about that whole phenomenon and begin to really talk about that.
I was thinking, Benny, of a neighbor who told their pastor who was ill, and in this case it was some cancer or something of that sort that he got. And the pastor had it, people prayed for him, of course, he got it. So they thought, fine, you know. Then, later, the illness recurred, and they began to have doubts about him, wondered if his faith was strong enough. So what they did is they said, well, okay, now look, you're ill again, we'll give you 6 months. Put him on trial, as it were. 6 months to recover. And if you can get well in 6 months, then you can come back and be our pastor again. And it was just like telling him, you know, that his faith wasn't strong enough. He had no business getting sick again. Just seemed like entirely the wrong approach.
To me, that is really not wholeness. They did not accept him as he was. They helped him through that struggle and and being healed is go beyond physicalness, but how you look at yourself and what you think about who you are in conjunction of the rest of the body. I would like to respond somewhat to an intriguing text in John 9. I will, Jesus was dealing with some people and trying to get at the blind guy that had been blind for the entire part of his life. He was born blind, and Jesus was going to do something very important was going to happen. But all these people were nagging Jesus into trying to put Jesus into the box, trying for him to really trying to answer them a question that Jesus did not want to deal with. And the question was, who sinned? Was it his mother giving, was it his parents? They really wanted to know who sinned. And Jesus did not want to deal with that because he wanted to deal with some other stuff that was far more important was. And say, look, I want you to know what is going to go on. I want you to watch what is going on. I want you to know what God is going to do within the prisoner's life. I want you to know the relationship between the man and the Father. It is not the importance of who sinned. The importance of it is you accept yourself the way that you are and go beyond that. Go beyond that question and go about doing life. And don't get caught in adding all kinds of philosophical questions that can't be answered. accept the fact that you are the way that you are, is the way that you are, and God will be glorified in your body. Jesus did heal the blind guy, but as we deal with the text, he gave him a level of sight. He gave him the hope of being who he was. I think that was far more important than the sight that he was able to jump around and praise the Lord for who he was. And not a scholar, but there's no I can see. And I can say that too, that I can see a lot things in my own relationship with God that is there because the way that I am. I belong to the kingdom. I'm a part of that. My whole, you know, I have given my life to the work of the kingdom. Far more important than healing is that I know Jesus. I mean, I know that Jesus loved me for who I am, and not who I ain't, but who I am. And the wholeness of who I am is that Jesus allowed me to be whole in the creation of who God created me into his own image. That I think that I think about who I am inside of the creation I need to be comfortable by why I was created. And that's the most important question, is not if you're ever going to heal me physically. The important question is, God, what do you want? What do you want me to do with my life the way it is? What kind of relationship do you want me to have with the rest of the body? And what kind of relationship do you want me to have with you? I think far more important is that blind guy relationship of who God is in the presence of his life, rather than, you know, trying to deal with all the philosophical questions, become real and say, thank you, God, for who I am. I do not understand why, but I know you. I know the source, and that is enough for me to get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for my life. and carrying me through the day and help me to accept me as a person of gifts and talents beyond my limitations. Is there any questions? I think the question that I want to address, and I don't know how well we can cover the questions. One is this God's plan? And again, I think we can ask all kinds of hard questions and say, I want to deal with questions like that. I want to continue my life. I want to begin to get into my relationship with my, I want to get in touch with how I am spirit. My faith with other people. And the question is God's plan. I think it is God's plan for me to be whole and to think that I'm whole and I'm worthwhile to work for the kingdom of God here on earth, to help other people. Some sort of sick human, divine human. I don't understand what that means. I think it is, again, nonsense to deal with the philosophical sense of questions of why pain and why agony and why grief when we can talk about a person in relationship with a faith. You know, sure, we need to talk some of the hard questions out, but we do it in a quasi of conversation, rather than a bunch of philosophical statements. It's really not my bag to do that here at Horton. I want to be able to be a real and genuine as I can to treat this. The other question is, in the questions, I wrote the book in 1981, it was published, and I wrote it in 1939, and at that time I was in so philosophical mind, so I write all this bubblegum stuff that I'm looking at it now about 6 years later and say, why did I even write some of this stuff? But since I'm dealing with my book, I figured better try to bring it up to date. Is there a loving God watching over the creation? I hope so. I hope that God do not give up on us and fly away and then we can. How do I put myself into that crescent? Sometimes I do struggle with the crescent. God, where are you in the middle of my agony? Why do I need to go through this? I need to remember I do not know why I go through this. But I know who is the source of my creator. God, like Paul always prayed for the living about the thorn in the flesh. But he never gave up. His relationship was God. Is it your will be done in my life? Is where God when you need him? God never moves. We always think that God moves, but God don't move. Sometimes we get into the dark room and want to shut off the light, yet we want to be alone. And then we ask all kinds of questions of, where are you? I ask the questions when I get into that kind of mindset. Where are you, God? Where are you? Please help me. Did you take a vacation? Have you given up on me? Yeah. Then I get into the whole guilt trip of not being loved. It's tough to sort out all the credit. It become a sign of what are you going to do with all the stuff. And basically, I don't know what I deal with, how I deal with all the stuff tomorrow. I know that I'm okay today with knowing that Christ, God through Christ have redeemed me. The totality of who I am, I and my handicap are not two separate things, but my handicap is a part of that creation. And that is a new concept for me because I'm no changing my whole attitude on that topic. Like I said earlier, I think I have changed my attitude about the topic about four times in the last 10 years. But I am a person that was born with a handicap, and I need to thank God for my life, whatever it is. You need to thank God for your life. begging that go with it. You need to say, God, thank you for who I am. We may not understand, but we need other people to affirm who we are too. We've been there in pain and agonies and inner presence about who we are. We need people to affirm us and say, thank you for being who you are. You're a neat person. Girl that did not feel good about who she was. And she took rocks early in the morning. And she was walking in the sand by the ocean. And she'd sit on the log and watch this fog jumping up and doing his own thing. She was very amazed of the fog, because that fog represented her life, because she felt foggy inside. And she reached out and kissed the fog, and they turned into beautiful princess. Basically what the story taught us, that we need to reach inside of ourselves and get a hold of what is bugging us and claim it. And say, thank God for who I am. Even though I don't look like who I am, I will praise God because God created me as a whole person. And we need the shift of an attitude to begin to think and to begin to walk in the wholeness of life the way that God wants us to walk into that. Sure, there will be valleys of shadows, but God is in the valleys also. That we don't need to ever feel alone. I never need to feel alone. Oftentimes, I need to admit, I do feel very, very alone. And ask the question, why don't I ever get healed? Why don't God do something boomer and fix everything in my life? I didn't need to say, God, thank you for who I am. Because I believe that you created me the way that I am. And that is new for me. It just happened a few days ago. I was into some heavy, heavy conversation with somebody that is here at Holden. I need to come to grips about my own handicap so I can move on beyond that to reach out to others. If you don't grab onto that, then it will always bite you. don't know where you want to go with this. I want to open this up somewhat to some comments, if you have some. I have a couple of questions that I want you to think about, maybe a spot to make the helpful tape with somebody else. What is it to be whole person in the Word? What do wholeness mean to you?
Well, it has a lot to do with attitude, I think, and how we look at things, and I don't think whether you have a handicap or, well, we all have handicaps of one kind or another. Some of them show more than others. So I think more or less an attitude of realizing who you are.
Second question I want to do. Are you done with
that? Yeah, I can't think of any more.
Second question I want to ask is, how do we become more whole and complete?
Maybe by embracing our brokenness.
Can you tell me more about that?
I'm not sure it's something we can do by ourselves, but it's Christ that brings us wholeness. But it's all right to be broken. And I think we need to be able to touch the brokenness in others and reach out to the body of Christ and be honest about our own brokenness.
Any other comments? Your third question is a tricky one. How do you react to the statement, everybody, every person need healing?
Needs healing? I don't know, sometimes it's that not being healed that brings us into relationship with Christ and with others.
I don't think we want to limit what you think of healing is as being ramble, you know, it's going to change the figure of who you are, you know, you're going to straighten my voice out. I think you go beyond that. I may be healing some broken relationships with other people, healing some relationships inside by how you think about other people, and especially don't you think it really comes down to asking God to heal you for how you look at your own self, especially, I would do that too. God, heal me for how I look at my own self as a whole person. Help me to understand what the wholeness means for me.
I hate my first response is that I want a quick fix. You know, I want, like you said, you want to be everything straightened out and wrapped up nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that in my own brokenness is the opportunity to grow in love. Only in brokenness do I grow and become,
mm-hmm.
and reach out and have compassion. And is there any room only in brokenness to be filled with love?
I think if you've experienced some, like people that have experienced tragedies in their life, can feel for other people that have had some similar situation. If you've been there, why, it makes a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
Been through some problems.
I think, for me anyway, the thing that I have several positives that really bug me. Yes, the other thing that really bugged me is, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to look in my own? How do I come to the knowledge that as a handicapped person, I'm whole? How do I come from a brokenness to a whole? A brokenness philosophy idea about who I am to the transaction to think about a wholeness philosophy for myself. I think that is really the important question that at least I need to deal with inside my own self. How do I process that, and where do I see God fit in? And you, as sisters and brothers, how do I see my brothers and sisters fit into that? Can I be complete without you? Can you be complete without me? Is that what Paul is meaning by the completeness of the body of Christ? By each member that is different? Make up the body and quiz as 12. Kind of interesting. You got something on your mind that you want?
No, I wasn't going to say a word.
In my glasses.
Yeah.
the wholeness that I really think the wholeness for me anyway is to be constantly reminded that Jesus loved me the way I am. That God created me as a prisoner of dignity and of wholeness, that regularness only is broken because of the way I think about my own self. Did that make sense? Kind of interesting. What time is dinner tonight?
That's fine. 10 minutes.
Okay. So, getting back to John 9, how did that fit into the finding of what was going on in John 9?
A lot of the people that were standing there watching and asking were more blind than the blind men. That's the way it comes across to me. They didn't understand what was going on.
Have you experienced healing?
Yes.
You want to share a little bit about that?
First of all, I think that I experience healing every day. But my own experience was that I had a deep depression, and I've been healed from that. And it didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And that's a miracle. I was dead and now I am alive. And that's true.
Yeah.
That was through the Word and through God's grace.
How we understand important thing is how we understand that the question of what still remains as a question, but there's surely some hammers that we can grab onto and work with and be comfortable in, and that question no longer become a negative, a question that reneges us, because we are satisfied of who we are within Christ. For me, that is a very, very powerful statement. Where I put my trust into, my brokenness into, so it can become, my brokenness can be fixed within that relationship of who God is. And together we can make it. I think that is really the important thing It is not how we going to saw the promise of something. What am I and you going to do about that in our own life to become men and women of who God wants to be about in this world to share life with each other, to help each other to understand that they too are whole people within the creation of God. If there's no other conversation, I would like to close with the three questions that we deal with, and that maybe people that is living the tape want to deal with. What is it to be a whole person in this world? How do we become more whole and complete? And the last one is, how do you react to the statement that everyone needs healing? God bless and thank you.